Had that alleyway always felt so deep? With the shadows of the shanties, the draping cloths, and jutting planks of wood, the place looked like an extended barricade, with only the narrowest of pathways through. It seemed like an entirely different world from the rest of the city. It was a dark and hidden realm that could exist only in shadows. Heroes of presents The Storm Pod, a Stormlight Archive podcast. First novella, Edge Dancer. This is just a quick spoiler warning for chapters 16, 17, and 18, I guess. We are going to be covering 16 and 17 today, and then doing 18 as a live read. So this is the first time that I've done one of these where I don't know what's about to happen. So it's pretty exciting. Make sure that you've caught up on all your reading or that you've picked the right episode. You wouldn't want to get spoiled on what's to come. I was able to not get spoiled on what's to come, so I'm doing pretty good so far. Please enjoy the episode. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Q, and he said his creepy sword likes me. I guess that's a good thing. It's Jack. What's up, man?
My creepy sword does like you.
It's really weird, right? Isn't that the creepiest thing you've ever heard?
It is really creepy. I find, I'm curious. I'm really curious as to why the sword likes her.
Right.
And I'm curious as to what's so different about this blade versus, let's say, Syl.
Right.
Becoming a blade.
Right.
Like, what's so different?
Right. Because they both seem to have personality.
Right.
Sentience. It's a tricky one.
The only thing I can think of is that maybe there's something about Lyft, her abilities, that this, like, if this sword is, evil or malevolent or something like that, that maybe it sees something in Lyft that can be, you know, used to that effect.
Maybe it respects, you know, like, what Lyft's trying to do. I don't know. I don't even know how it would know.
Or it could be that, right?
I will remind you that at the end of Words of Radiance, when Darkness gives the sword to Zeth, the sword speaks in Zeth's mind and says, "Would you like to destroy evil today?" So
that's right. Yeah. So okay.
Yeah, so hopefully the sword could still be evil itself, but I'm saying that it seems to want to destroy evil. So
you're right. I'm always just too suspicious of absolutely everything. So I'm like, hang on,
it's like the creepy sword, Navani, other
everyone, the grass.
The grass. Anytime
the grass that Risen, the plant life.
Are you talking about the grass that Risen has to raise? It's just, you know, her basque you're going to need to raise that grass. And Jack's like, instantly suspicious.
Instantly suspicious. Okay.
All right. You want to start it up?
I want to jump in. Yeah. Okay, let's jump into chapter 16 of Edge Dancer. So on the previous page, Lyft is basically going to follow these suspicious characters, so these two and the assassin in white.
Right.
So turns out it was way hard. That's the first line. I love it.
Right.
Way hard.
Yeah, because she said it was going to be way easy or whatever. Yeah.
Way easy. It's way hard. I almost thought, well, there's our first potential title for this chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, because she says, guess we could do that. Shouldn't be too hard, right?
Shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah.
And then the next sentence is, it turns out it was way hard.
Yeah.
We get, in the next paragraph, a lot of hallways here. She couldn't get too close to them, as the hallways had grown eerily empty. Tons of branching pathways off of these hallways, little side hallways. And again, we get we get our hallways.
Yeah, hallways and alcoves, man. He's got a fixation about it. He loves it.
It's D&D, dude. He's seen...
It's very D&D.
It's old school maps, like...
The only if in, it would be nice if in the book it would say like you could only have two people standing side by side, or the hallway is exactly 10 feet wide, and you're like, oh, okay, I get that.
I just find like, you know, like think about how many hallways you encounter in a given day.
Right?
Is it very many?
I mean, like, if I worked for the company in Severance, it'd be a shit ton. You'd just be walking hallways the whole fucking time.
Okay, but she did it, though. She followed them through the whole starving place. She managed to slip out a window near the doors, falling amongst some plants. The whole city felt chilly now, like it was in shadow.
Yeah.
And it was empty. I really like this description of the city like that.
Yeah, because it was bustling before, and now people are going to their shelters because the storm's coming, and the storm is also looming in the sky, so things are getting a little darker. Yeah, it's really setting up for something cool.
The people had been swarming up and down the steps and ramps into the grand Indicipium. Indicipium?
Like, yeah, she keeps saying it wrong.
We got to talk about this. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. It's, again, it's an endearing thing. She just doesn't care to learn the grand Indicium. She doesn't want to say it.
Right.
She's like, I'll say it whatever way I want.
Right.
So I was wondering if you might have been able to come up with a few funny ones.
On the spot like this?
Yeah.
Well, if we're talking D&D, it would be the grand Indicium, because that's Indicium. Where you would go roll the dice.
Yeah.
And maybe the grand Indicium is where like people go and like dish tea, and they're like,
do the dishes.
I heard Ronaldo is sleeping with Marie or whatever. You know what I mean? So
alcove.
they found that alcove. You know the one.
Yeah, you know the one. Okay, the storm is coming. The assassin in white turns his eyes towards the west. The storm is coming. All the more reason to be quick, the female apprentice said. Mm-hmm. She took a sphere from her pocket and then held it up before her and sucked in the light. It streamed into her and she started to glow with awesomeness. And then she rose into the air. She rose into the starven air itself. They can fly? Why in damnation can't I fly? Yeah, good question, Lift, because I want to know that too, because... first of all, we made the connection with the they can fly now.
They can fly now. Yeah, the rise of Skybreaker.
So the rise of Skybreaker, dude.
It's perfect.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so good. So it made me cringe a little bit. What I wanted to look up, but I didn't, is did Mr. Sanderson, did he write this before?
That's a good question.
I'm sure Edge Dancer came before.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So they took it from him.
Yeah.
They must have.
Yeah, because this was 2014.
2014.
Yeah,
okay.
It's way before Skywalker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they fly now, and why in damnation can't I fly? That's right, Little Lift, because she is this sort of Peter Pan-y kind of character, in my opinion. But
It's true. But she can't be completely Peter Pan, because the Peter Pan stuff's already been used for a Kaladin too, right? Lost Boys, Captain Hook, him flying. Like, there's, it can't be everywhere, right?
No, I know.
She can glide, though. She can glide.
She can glide.
Mm-hmm.
Coming assassin, the woman looks down towards the landing and the man wearing white. I've danced that storm once before, he whispered. On the day I died. No. You're never going to make it into the Order at this rate. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He remained silent. I like this. You know why?
Why?
Because he's not indicating that he wants to be in the Order.
Right.
Which is what I'm hoping is his plan.
Well, he wasn't really looking for it, right? Like, Nail came and kind of saved his life, and he's all like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to hang out with you guys now because, you know, my Oath Stone doesn't mean anything anymore. I have literally killed thousands of people because I thought it was the right thing to do at the time. So, yeah, I could see it. He's just like he's the dude, like, crashes on your couch after he's had a bad breakup and he's all like, I just need a place to crash. Like, Zeth is that guy right now. He's like growing back his hair a little bit. He's just like, I don't know. Like, every time he talks, it's like super dour and stuff. You're never going to make it into the... Or he's like, I've danced that storm once before on the day I died.
Yeah, he's all depressed now. He's shuffling around in a bathrobe with a cup of coffee.
Do you guys want anything at 7-Eleven? I'll be back. Like...
I almost lost my drink on my computer there. Yeah, yeah. So don't do that again. That would be bad.
Okay. I'm doing it immediately again.
So, yeah, of course you are. Yeah. They could storming fly. You're the one he's hunting for, aren't you? The assassin said softly. And he's looking right at Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
Lyft winced. Then she stood up and peeked over the side of the landing where the assassin stood. I ain't nobody, Lyft says. He kills nobodies. And you don't? I kill kings. Which is totally better? He narrowed his eyes at her, then squatted down, sheathed his sword, held across his shoulders with hands draped forward. No, it is not. I hear their screams, their demands, whenever I see shadow. They haunt me, scramble for my mind, wishing to claim my sanity. I fear they've already won. That man to whom you speak can no longer distinguish what is the voice of a mad raving and what is not. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we can infer anything from that? That he can't distinguish between a mad raving?
I mean, he's...
Now, he's speaking about darkness, right?
No, he's speaking about himself, I think. Oh, I fear that they've already won because he's like, they haunt me.
Oh, the man to whom you speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so he's like... You know, Zeth is lost right now.
He's losing it.
He's lost. He's tormented by the voices of the people he's killed still, because he was already tormented by these people. We knew that. But now he no longer has any direction, and all the things he thought he did that were for good or for a reason now have no reason.
Right.
And he's completely lost. Which makes him even more interesting than he was before.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I love that there's this in Edge Dancer, because I mean, this arc for the assassin in white for Zeth could have easily been in any other book.
Right.
Because everybody wants to know what's going to happen to him and what he's going through. But the fact that it's in this novella is... I'm sure it's going to continue, but...
Right. One of the things that strike me so strongly is, how did I never read this book? How did I go and read Oathbringer and not know this information that this book is teaching us? Like how the Zeth stuff, Nail and Lyft, like how did I not, how did I not know this? You know what I mean?
And Windel, don't forget me.
Well, I didn't really know Windel. This is when you learn about Windel, right? So yeah, it's great.
So he says all this brooding stuff, and this is what I love about these next few pages, is that he's being all brooding, and she's like, okay, but you didn't attack me. No, the sword likes you. Great. I like the sword too. She glances at the sky. Do you know where they're going? The report described a man who had been spotted vanishing by several people in the city. He will turn down an alleyway, then it will be empty, when someone else follows. People have claimed to see his face twisting to become the face of another. My companions believe he is what is called a light weaver, and so must be stopped.
Okay.
So...
Okay, we got some stuff to talk about here. Okay, so...
The man in black, right? This is
Wit, I think, right? It's the dude.
Of course.
It's the guy.
It has to be.
Okay. Before we talk about that. The sword likes you. Remember last episode when we recorded, we talked about how Zeth saw Lyft in the hallway. Remember he threw the sphere in the middle of the hallway. He illuminated the hallway. He saw her. And then he slightly pulled the sword out.
He opens the sword out. Yeah.
And we were like, why would he do that?
So it could look at her.
Right. Remember, that's what you guessed. What if it was an ability for the sword to be able to look at her? And he says the sword likes you. So that must have been it. It must have been a way for the sword to be able to get a sense of her or whatever.
Creepy.
And, you know, he's like, do I kill her? I'm pulling the sword out. Do I kill her, sword? And the sword probably was like, no, I like her.
No, I like her.
So, holy shit. Zeth is going to trust a sword now, I guess, or whatever.
This
maybe.
Is what I don't understand what's going on, because Darkness, we don't appear to like him. He killed the cobbler. He kills other people.
Yeah, we don't like him.
We're not liking this guy.
No.
Okay. So, but he gives this sword to Zeth, thinking that it's a good thing for him to have Zeth armed with this sword and also near Darkness doing what he's doing.
I don't think that Zeth or Nail Darkness's actions can be relied upon as sane. Remember, he even says when he's talking about all this the stuff earlier in the book, he says like, I can't even trust my own judgments. That's why I trust Ishar.
Right.
So like,
hang on, Ishar?
Was it Ishar that he said?
Right, the god that he venerates.
Yeah, or the not the god, but like his fellow herald, we think.
I think it's a herald.
Remember, because he's like, Ishar says the you know, if we have to kill the Surgebinders to stop the desolation.
Yes, and you wouldn't be happy with Ishar's judgment.
You know, how are we supposed to trust his judgment if that's what he thinks? And he even says, I don't even trust my own judgment. So maybe his judgment in giving Zeth this blade was faulty as well. Right. So who knows?
Right.
Okay, but let's skip to the next part here.
Okay.
My companion says he's a light weaver.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah, a light weaver. Right.
So if this is the same man.
It would make sense.
It makes sense that he would be Wit, right? Because that means, okay, hold on. If this man is Wit, like we suspect, okay?
Right.
And he's a light weaver. We kind of already have evidence that Wit is a Lightweaver in the series. When he tells the story
because
of Wandersail to Kaladin, he makes these images appear, and Kaladin can see, he literally can see the story develop like kind of out of the fire. So it makes sense that Wit has some skill with Lightweaving, because then he could make illusions appear, right?
Now he shares this ability with Shallan, correct?
Right.
If we're correct about it.
Right. If we are. We don't really know. We're just assuming.
See, Wit could be some kind of oddity.
Right. He could.
So Wit could have many abilities. And he could be an outlier, which I think is what he has been so far.
He seems to be able to exhibit as well the ability to travel long distances.
Right. So he could be different.
Right. He could be different.
In the Dorian Gray sort of way? He could be complicated.
Right. These Skybreakers think that this man, this old man in the alleyway, is a Lightweaver. Regardless of whether he turns out to be Wit, right? It could just be another Lightweaver. So, yeah.
I also like that kind of where you're going with this, where it's like, and I thought this too, is that if Wit has these abilities similar to Shallan, Kaladin, Lyft, then he could be one of the gang.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
he'd be one of the gang, like Fonzie was one of the gang. Like Fonzie was never really one of the gang. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't necessarily have picked Fonzie. He seems like, what's he like?
The man in black.
I don't know.
Hey, don't you think Henry Winkler is like a cool Wit?
Oh, he's, yeah.
Fan casting.
Henry Winkler as
hey, he's like,
as,
hey, Dalinar, what's up?
Hey.
No.
That's funny, dude. Henry Winkler as Wit.
That's funny. That's amazing.
This summer, Paramount Pictures presents the Stormlight Archives.
Stormy Days.
Starring Henry Winkler. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's funny. Okay.
All right, let's keep going.
She says, so Lightweaver must be stopped. Is that legal, she asks. Nin has procured an injunction from the prince forbidding any use of surge binding in the country, save that specifically authorized. I believe the Herald's experiences with you were what taught him to go straight to the top rather than dancing about with local authorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe the Herald's experiences with you.
Yeah, so he's talking about Lyft, about what happened in Azir, and how he didn't fully have the... He needed, like, the top brass, the top person in charge to tell him you can kill anybody you want, because he didn't get the top authority, which was the Emperor, and the Emperor said, no, you can't kill her. So he's gone above all that now. It's funny,
above Gox.
Well, I don't know if there's above Gox, but here in Tashik there is someone, right? So
right. He really is wrong, isn't he? Lyf says. That one you say is a herald. He says the Voidbringers aren't back, but they are. The new storm reveals it. But who am I to say? I am mad. Then again, I think that the herald is too. It makes me agree that the minds of men cannot be trusted, that we need something greater to follow, to guide, but not my stone. What good is seeking a greater law when that law can be the whims of a man either stupid or ruthless?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good point. Mm-hmm. But again, she's like, okay, baby.
Again, okay.
Yeah. Because he just keep, it's so funny that he keeps just speaking all this.
Super
like,
dour. Yeah.
I'm Batman.
He is Batman in these moments. He is.
Yeah, I'm upset. Oh, that's so funny. You can be crazy all you want. It's fine. I like crazy people. It's real funny when they lick walls and eat rocks and stuff. But before you start dancing, could you tell me where those other two are going?
Yeah.
You won't be able to outrun them. So no harm in telling me then, right? Like,
yeah,
I love this dialogue. It's so funny. The assassin smiled, though the emotion didn't seem to reach his eyes. The man who can vanish, this presumed lightweaver, is an old philosopher.
Mm-hmm. So we know the old man philosopher in the alleyways, right?
So this is another great title potential.
Old philosopher, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Well known in the immigrant quarter, he sits in a small amphitheater. Well, hang on. If he's well known, then how can he be wit? How can wit be here, there, and everywhere?
I don't know.
How can he be a well known character?
I don't know.
Is wit like jumping?
I don't know.
Like occupying persons and like
I,
you know what I mean?
I can't say. I don't. I think it's possible, but I can't say why.
Okay, so hang on. We'll stop because I'm a first timer here. So,
you had to declare that like no one knew. Hey, just in case anybody was wondering, I'm a first timer.
Well, sorry, stating the obvious. I know. Okay. Sorry. Whatever.
No, it's all good.
So these events are happening at the same time. We know that, right? Like, right. I'm not being fooled.
We don't really know exactly when this is happening. We know this happens afterwards.
Well, the storm is coming, right? Like,
yeah.
That's...
We know that the storm went around the world and came back and now it's hitting the western, right? The west coast. So
okay.
It's sometime after however long the Everstorm took to go around the world. I'm not sure how long that is, but it's sometime after.
So you're not saying it's the exact time, but
like sometime after the Everstorm was created, right?
Yeah, yeah. But you're not sure how long
the
journey from the storm.
I really don't know. It's not. I'm not holding anything back from you. I truthfully don't know how much time has passed. We can assume maybe several months.
Huh? But could it be years, decades?
No. No, absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay,
no.
That's where I was going. Okay. old philosopher, well known. He sits in a small amphitheater most days talking to anyone who will listen. It is near, and she interrupts him and says, the Tashi's Light Orphanage, storms, I should have guessed. He's almost as weird as you are.
Right.
Will you fight them, Little Radiant? Little Radiant, that's probably the title.
That's really cool.
Maybe. Old philosopher, yeah. Little Radiant. Will you fight them, Little Radiant? The assassin asks. You alone against two journeymen skybreakers? A herald waiting in the wings? She glanced at Windle. I don't know, but I have to go anyway, don't I? End of the chapter.
Yeah, that's the end of the chapter. So what do you think? What's your highlight here? This little chapter.
Jeez, I don't know. I like at the end when she says, but I have to go anyway, don't I?
Like, right.
I don't know. It speaks to that whole thing we were talking about with her being this reluctant hero, but it has to be a game. I was mentioning to the Light Weavers last night that I love this about Lyft, that, you know, she'll do it, but it has to appear like a game as well. Otherwise, mm-hmm. she's probably not all that interested.
She's not interested. Yeah. She's willing to do the right thing, but as long as she disguises it in food eating and having fun.
I like their banter back and forth. Like,
yeah,
that's
pretty
funny.
I was going to say that my highlight is Lyft and Szeth actually getting to talk, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But also, the sword likes her. That's an incredible sentence that makes you go, whoa, what?
What?
I like how such a simple phrase can put you on your heels and say, what the fuck? Little Radiant is really nice title.
Yeah, Little Radiant.
I read
Radiant.
One earlier. That we need something greater to follow. Something greater to follow. I don't know. When you read that earlier, it was nice. Something to follow, to guide. I don't know. There's something in that sentence there that I like. But Little Radiant
raises
is
a good
nice.
Point. Like, if that something to follow is the ravings of a stupid individual or a raving lunatic, then why would you follow those tenets or those, you know, like, very, very good question.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
In an age of storms and war, the Knights Radiant must stand again to protect, to seek justice, to speak the truth, to unite, and to always take the next step. Introducing the unforgettable characters of the Stormlight Archive as you've never seen them before. Premium miniatures and painted figurines, all crafted by top sculptors in collaboration with Brandon Sanderson. The time has come to speak again the ancient oaths. Life before death. Strength before weakness. Journey before destination. The Stormlight Archive Premium Miniatures. Now on Kickstarter.
This is super exciting, guys. We have partnered up with Brotherwise Games to help spread the news of their amazing new Kickstarter, Stormlight Archive Premium Minis.
You can find the URL in the show notes or just go to the Kickstarter homepage and search for Brotherwise Games. Make sure you sign up before the campaign ends on October 13th and do us a little favor. Make sure you mention the StormPod sent you in the comments section. That'll help us out tremendously. Oh my God, dude, this is so amazing.
This is so great. Yeah, I can't think of anything better. Stormlight Archive Minis.
Right?
Wow.
We're going to have to run a D&D game, for sure.
We are totally going to have to run a Stormlight game.
Yeah, you know.
You want to jump into 17?
Yeah, let's do 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So chapter 17, Lyft engaged her awesomeness. She dug deeply into the power, summoning strength, speed, and slickness. Darkness's people didn't seem to care if they were witnessed flying about, so Lyft decided that she didn't care about being seen either.
I love this.
Don't you love imagining them flying over this broken city that's dug into the ground?
Mm-hmm.
All these sort of labyrinthian pathways
like these,
here and there.
But
it's also quiet because everyone's inside, so the streets are largely empty.
Yeah. It makes me think of like swinging through New York City as Spider-Man in these like sky rises, but they're all dug downwards.
Dug in.
So it's like kind of they're flying through these like these skyscrapers that go downwards. That's just crazy. The thing I like here is the Skybreakers didn't care, then she doesn't care either. And right. It happens to be a really good time for that bravery because there's no one on the streets. Everyone's hiding. The storm's right. coming. So there's no one to witness anything. But I do like the sentimentality because it's like what Syl told Cal. Just be. Don't care what everybody else thinks. Just be you. Right.
But Lyft has done this already.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't really care.
She doesn't really seem to care. She'll just be awesome and be like, man, deal with it. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to try to catch me? Because right. it ain't going to work because I'm
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, I'm totally awesome. I wonder if her third ideal is going to be do not give two fucks. Like just, you know what I mean? Like something, you are all out of fucks to give or something. You know what I mean?
Somehow I don't think that's going to make Brandon Mr. Sanderson's
like
list
a 12-year-old character saying that is not going to be as a no, tenant of their probably, belief system. No, you don't think that'll work? Okay,
no,
well, I was just throwing it out there. You dribble, you shoot, you hope for the best, there. Right?
She leaps away from the assassin, slicking her feet, then landing on the flat ramp beside the steps that wound up. Oh, yeah, this is when she keeps trying these maneuvers and it's not really working.
Right.
She intended to shoot down toward the city of the steps. Of course, she lasted about a second before her feet shot out and she slams onto the stone, onto the stones crotch first. Yikes. When I read that, I'm like, that doesn't sound very nice. She cringed at the flash of pain.
Mm-hmm. Because remember at the beginning of the book, she was practicing gliding on 2 feet. She had always glided on her knees and used her arms to kind of steer
right.
her.
Yeah.
But when Nin Darkness, I keep wanting to say all his names, got in her head and was like, you know, edge dancers were graceful once. And,
right.
And like, so she's trying to do it on her feet.
Get onto her feet.
But isn't good enough yet. And then now she's doing it again and she's still slipping and falling and stuff.
She didn't have time for much more. She fell into a tumble before dropping right off the side of the tall steps. So what I like about this, too, and she mentions it in a minute, is that, well, they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
So she's having to pull off new maneuvers in order to be able to do that.
Right.
She crunches down and when she lands from this in a humiliated heap. I love that language. I love imagining her in a humiliated heap. Her awesomeness prevented her from getting too hurt. So she ignored Wendell's cries. So Wendell doesn't speak here in this paragraph, but I like imagining him going, "Oh my!" Like what? Like
yeah.
Like as she's slamming her body around. And, you okay? Instead, she twists about, scrambling up onto her hands and knees, then took off running toward the slot that would lead her to the orphanage. She didn't have time to be bad at this. I like that line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to be bad at this. I have to be good at this. Normal running wouldn't be fast enough. Her enemies were literally flying. She could see in her mind's eye how it should be. The entire city sloped away from the central rise with the grand indigestion. Dude, come on.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of grand indigestion. When you call it grand,
I love it. She should be able to hit a skid, feet slick, zipping along the mostly empty street. She should be able to slap her hands against the walls as she passed by the outcroppings, gaining speed. She should be like an arrow in flight, pointed, targeted, and unchecked. She could see it, but couldn't do it. I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this development of her, of doing this. The shadowed street was a major thoroughfare, but it sat forlorn and empty. People had pulled in their awnings and street carts, but had left the refuse. These walls crowded her. Everyone knew to stay out of the canyons. They'd gone and built an entire starving city in here, flagrant violation of that. The sky above rumbled. Before that storm hit, a poor, crazy old man was going to get a visit from 2 self-righteous assassins, and she needed to stop it. She had to stop it. She couldn't explain why.
Yeah.
Again, I like that.
Me too.
I don't want to explain it.
Like we think it's a bigger reason. Like it's important for her to help who we think is Wit, but for her, it's just this old man is helpless, and there's someone like me. Remember that she said that earlier, a few chapters before. Like there, right. these people that Nin is killing are people like us. So, and you have to remember those who are getting forgotten, right?
Right. Okay, Lift, be calm. You can be awesome. You've always been awesome. And now you've got this extra awesomeness. Go, you can do it. I like the inner dialogue. It's great. She growls and threw herself into a run, twisting sideways. She could and would. This time she clipped the corner of the wall in an intersection and ended up sprawled on the ground. I like how despite all of her confidence, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, she still fails.
Yeah.
And trips and like has to get up again and keep at it. She knocked her head back against the ground. Mistress, Windle says, curling up to her. Oh, I do not like the sound of that storm. She got up, feeling ashamed and anything but awesome, and decided to just run the rest of the way. Her powers had let her run at speed without getting tired, but she could feel that it wasn't going to be enough.
So she's like, what Cal says before, you know, even without using his lashings or like his gravity stuff or his adhesion stuff, just having Stormlight inside you makes you faster, stronger.
Right.
So like she can run faster than normal right now because she's full of Stormlight, but that's still not as good as flying, right? It's not as good as if she could glide properly.
If it were me, I would be like crouching in pain in the heap of humiliation or whatever when she first fell off the stairs, like right at the beginning, like, ouch.
Yeah.
It seemed like ages before she stumbled to a stop outside the orphanage. Exhaustion spren swirling around her. So we got a little bit of spren here, which is nice.
Spren.
The amphitheater was empty, of course. The orphanage to her left built into the solid stone seats of the little amphitheater in front of her, and beyond it, the dark alleyway, wooden shanties. The sky had grown dark, though she didn't know whether it was from the advent of dusk or the coming storm. Deep within the alleyway, Lift heard a low, raw scream of pain, and it sent chills up her spine.
Yeah.
Windle had been right. The assassin had been right. What was she doing? She couldn't beat two trained and awesome soldiers. She sank down, worn out, right in the middle of the floor of the amphitheater. Do we go in? Windle asks. I don't have any power left, Lift whispers. I used it up running here. Had the alleyway always felt so deep? With the shadows of the shanties, the draping cloths, and jutting planks of wood, the place looked like an extended barricade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is cool. It seemed like an entirely different world from the rest of the city. It was dark and hidden. It was a dark and hidden realm that could exist only in shadows. I really like the way that he's taking a bit of time to describe it that way.
Right. Yeah. It's a little spooky, especially with the storm coming. There's definitely some added like shadows and darkness, and it's really cool. This is the part where when I was taking my notes, I was like, oh shit, the last meal that Stump owes her is going to be so important.
Right.
Because she, you know, she ran out of awesomeness running here. And then, and I'm like, well, how is she going to get, I thought to myself, how is she going to get more Stormlight?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wait, the Stump owes her one meal. I'm like, wow. It's like, you know, Chekhov's pancake is, you know what I mean? Like, who knew?
It's perfectly constructed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all planned out. That last meal was going to be so important earlier in the book. I certainly didn't see it, so.
She needs to figure out how to be a rock biter from the Neverending Story is what she really needs to do.
There you go, yeah.
She stands up on unsteady feet and step toward the alleyway. What are you doing? A voice shouts. Lift spun around to find the Stump standing in the doorway. You're supposed to go to one of the bunkers, the woman shouted. Idiot child. And she started forward and seized Lift by the arm, towing her into the orphanage. Don't think that just because you're here, I'll take care of you. There's not room for ones like you, and don't give me any pretense about being sick or tired. Everyone's always pretending in order to get at what we have. So this is interesting. Pulls her into the orphanage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's perfect.
So what were our theories about the Stump?
Okay, so I think that my main theory that the Stump was the other Surgebinder has been blown out of the water now.
I think so, right?
Clearly the other Surgebinder is probably the old man That's who they're looking for anyways.
Yeah.
It could
I loved our original Hauka theory. That was
me
my
too.
Favorite.
That was great. But I mean, I think those are like red herrings, right? I think those are little things in the book that
throw-offs.
Making you think that maybe the other person could be there, and it's mm-hmm. not. I like it's really perfectly constructed in that way.
Is it that little boy? Has the tear and
no, yeah. There's yeah, that's coming up right now.
I know
that's a whole
I
other
know.
Thing, right? That's a whole other thing.
I know.
I think that my theory that she was somehow healing the kids with Stormlight, mm-hmm, much like mm-hmm. Yim did before, that's totally debunked, I think, now, so.
Hmm. Okay. Though she said that, she deposited Lift right into the orphanage and slammed the large wooden door and threw the bar down. Be glad I looked out to see who was screaming. She studied Lift and sighed loudly. Suppose you'll want some food. I have one meal left, Lift says. I love that. You're so right, eh? It's
yeah.
so perfect.
Yeah.
I've half a mind to give it to the other children, the stump said. Honestly, after a prank like that, standing outside screaming, you should have gone to one of the bunkers. If you think that acting forlorn will earn my pity, you are sadly misguided. She walks off, muttering. The room here, right inside the doors, was large and open. Children were sitting around on mats, a single ruby sphere to light them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got red lighting here.
Yeah. Your ear always perks up whenever there's a red description.
Oh, red. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
The children seemed frightened, several holding on to one another. Lift sank down onto the mat. This is kind of my dark highlight here, is when she's commenting here, feeling surreal, out of place. She'd run all the way here, glowing with power, ready to face monsters that flew in the sky. But here she was just another orphaned urchin.
Mm-hmm.
She closed her eyes and listened to them. I'm frightened. Is the storm going to be long? Why did everyone have to go inside? I miss my mommy. What about the gummers in the alley? Will they be all right? Their uncertainty thrummed through Lift. She'd been here. After her mother died, she'd been here. She'd been here dozens of times since, in cities all across the land, places for forgotten children.
Right.
It's kind of my dark highlight is when she's like, I've been here.
Yeah.
Like when she gets put in that room, told to wait, you know.
It's kind of a reality check for us, right? Like this awesome, she's got awesomeness and she's fun and she, you know, she glides everywhere and she's so chaotic and awesome. But like, you know, at the heart of it, she started her journey after when her mom died living on the streets, and that's really fucking tough. That's like, I can't even imagine.
No, I can't even imagine it. She'd sworn an oath to remember people like them. She hadn't meant to. It had just kind of happened. Like everything in her life just kind of happened. I want control, she whispered.
Ooh, I love this part. This is my highlight. There. This whole next little part here is my highlight.
I want control. Mistress, Windle asks, earlier today you told me you didn't believe I'd come here for any of the reasons I'd said. You asked me what I wanted. I remember. I want control, she said. Not like a king or anything. I just want to be able to control it a little. My life. I don't want to get shoved around by people or by fate or whatever. I want it to be me who chooses. I know little of the way your world works, mistress, he said, coiled up onto the wall, but that seems like a reasonable desire. Listen to these kids talk. Do you hear them? They're scared of the storm. And of the sudden call to hide. And of being alone. So uncertain. In the other room, she could hear the stump talking softly to one of her older helpers. I don't know. It's not the day for a high storm. I'll put the spheres out up top, just in case. I wish someone would tell us what was happening.
Right.
I don't understand, mistress, Windle says. What is it I'm supposed to get from this observation? Hush, Voidbringer, she says, still listening. Then she paused and opened her eyes. A boy with a scar on his face was talking to one of the other boys. He looked up at Lift. Hey, he said, I know you. You saw my mom, right? Did she say when she was coming back?
Hmm.
Oh, man, that is... That's so harsh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. This chapter's got some heavy stuff.
So that whole control thing is just absolutely amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
Isn't that what all of us just want? Dude. Is some control? Like,
but I love the way that she expresses what she, well, first of all, I love it that in this chapter she declares what she wants. Like, she figures out something about herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want control. But the way she says it, like, not like a king, not like an emperor. I just want to control a little. You know, I want my voice to be heard.
Right.
You know, I think we all can connect with that. So
this next part with Mick is just awesome.
Dude, do you know when she's coming back? Oh my God, Mick, you can come home with me. You can,
mm-hmm.
Mick, yeah, he says, look, I don't belong here, right? I don't remember the last few weeks very well, but I mean, I'm not an orphan. I've still got a mom. Oh, that's harsh, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not an orphan. I still have a mom.
But there's a reason for this, right? There's a very specific reason here. She said, she's like, it was him, the boy who had been dropped off the night before. You were drooling then. And even at lunch, you were talking like an idiot. Storms, what did I do to you? She couldn't heal people that were different in the head, or so she thought. What was the difference with him? Was it because he had a head wound and wasn't born this way? So he had gotten hurt,
right,
and then had lost some capacity because of that injury, and then she healed him, and then now he was back to normal in quotations,
right?
He was back to who he was before the injury, and he's all like, actually, I'm not like these kids. I don't belong here. I have a mom. Like, I could go home. I'm okay.
I can go
I'm
home.
Not the kid that was dropped off, right? So
yeah, it's crazy. It's really sad because, you know, like, he was dropped off by her, but yet he longs for her.
Right.
And it's abusive.
Well, earlier when he was dropped off and he was having conversations with Wit, he didn't even know what was happening because he was drooling and he was, like she says, called him an idiot. But it's cool. Yeah. She ended up healing him without realizing she did it. And I bet you if we went back to that chapter and read that part, there was a part of her awesomeness that gets used without her realizing she used it, right?
That she used it, yeah. Like she must do it. She's compelled to do it.
Right.
I know, I love it. She didn't remember healing him. Storms, she said she wanted control, but she didn't even know how to use what she had. Her race to this place proved it. The stump strode back in with a large plate and began handing out pancakes to the children. I like this. She got to lift and then handed her two.
Right.
This is the last. I like it that the stump was like, I don't even think I should give you your last meal. I should give it to someone else.
Right.
But then she ends up giving her two pancakes.
Right.
I love that. I think that's great.
And it ends up being,
this is the last, she says.
It's not like she now has tried 6 of the 10 pancakes. They're the same
two
other ones. Yeah. So,
but it was, you know what though? But it was her favorite.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I almost want to believe that the stump knew that and gave her the ones that she knew she liked. I know that she doesn't.
She doesn't.
But so Liv says thanks, and then the stump moves on. The pancakes were cold and unfortunately of a variety she'd already tried. The ones with the sweet stuff, her favorite. And then she thinks maybe the stump wasn't all that bad. I love
it.
She's a thief and a thug, Liv reminded herself as she ate, restoring her awesomeness. She's laundering spheres and using an orphanage as cover, but maybe even a thief and a thug could do some good along the way.
Right. Because she's like a street urchin, a thief, so maybe she could do something good along the way too, yeah.
Right. I'm so confused, Windle says. Mistress, what are you thinking? She looked toward the thick door to the outside. The old man was surely dead by now. Nobody would care. Likely nobody would notice. One old man found dead in an alley after the storm. But Lift would remember him. Come on, she said. She stepped over to the door. When the stump's back was turned to scold a child, Lift pushed up the bar and slipped outside.
All right, well, that's chapter 17. Oh.
So control, yeah. I want
that's my
control.
Highlight. I want control as my highlight for sure.
there are so many cool little things in here.
Control like, could be like the title too, right?
Control could be the title.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once you start reading the title, Control by Joy Division starts up. And you start shaking like Ian Curtis used to do.
That's funny.
On stage dancing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a great chapter. I love, you said earlier that you loved how she needed to get there with all urgency and couldn't slide properly. I love the fact that she's just not, you know, kick ass and a hero, and she's still stumbling along the way. And I like that a lot. That's really cool.
And getting, but getting better.
Right.
Determined,
but not letting her failings stop her from still doing it. Like she was about to walk into the alleyway with no stormlight and really no, even if she had stormlight, no real ability to use it effectively right now because she's gotten inside her own head, trying to do this new style on the feet. But she still was going to go in regardless.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really cool. What do you think?
Yeah. I love Lyft.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's so great. She's fun to follow. She's interesting. We get the complexity with Zeth, and then we get all this heartbreak here when she gets put in the room and reminded where she came from, that she's been here before and here she is again.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? Maybe that's exactly where she should be.
Maybe.
In terms of like helping these people, not forgetting them. She's right where she should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
You're right. Maybe she needed
almost like a social worker, or you know, like you're right where you should be. You're helping people, and
she needed to go into the orphanage and be reminded of who she was. Like it reminds us too before the big ending of the book. It's really sweet so far.
Yeah,
I'm really excited for this next chapter. So let's quickly take a break and we will be right back. So now we will be doing the live read of chapter 18.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 18. Well, let's begin.
Mm-hmm.
The hungry sky rumbled above, dark and angry. Lyft knew that feeling. Too much time between meals and looking to eat whatever it could find. Never mind the cost. Oh, what a great beginning. Mm-hmm. The storm hadn't fully arrived yet, but from the distant lightning, it seemed that this new storm didn't have a storm wall. Its onset wouldn't be a sudden majestic event, but instead a creeping advance. It loomed like a thug in an alley, knife out, waiting for prey to wander past. Isn't it great? Yeah. Lyft stepped up to the mouth of the alleyway beside the orphanage and then crept in, passing between shanties that looked far too flimsy to survive high storms. Even if the city had been built to absolutely minimize winds, there was just so much junk in here. A particularly vigorous sneeze could leave half the people in the alley homeless. They realized it too, as almost everyone here had gone to the storm bunkers. She did catch the odd face peeking suspiciously between rags draped on windows, anticipation spren growing up from the floor beside them like red streamers. They were people too stubborn, or perhaps too crazy, to be bothered. She didn't completely blame them. The government giving sudden random orders and expecting everyone to hop, that was the sort of thing she usually ignored. Except they should have seen the sky, heard the thunder. A flash of red lightning lit her surroundings. Today, these people should have listened.
Mm-hmm.
She inched farther into the alleyway, entering a place of underlined shadows. With the clouds overhead and everyone having taken their spheres away, the place was nearly impenetrable and so silent. The only sound, that of the sky. Storms, was the old man actually in here? Maybe he was safe in a bunker somewhere. That scream from earlier could have been something unrelated, right? No, she thought. No, it wasn't. She felt another chill run through her. Well, even if the old man was here, how would she find his body? Mistress, Windle whispered. Oh, I don't like this place, mistress. Something's wrong. Something was wrong. It had been since darkness had first stalked her.
Everything was
Lift
wrong.
Lift continued. Right.
Yeah, that's big A. I don't like this place. Something's
Everything
wrong.
Everything was wrong.
Everything was wrong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lift continued on past shadows that were probably laundry draped along strings between shanties. They looked like twisted, broken bodies in the gloom. Another flash of lightning from the approaching storm didn't help. The red light it cast made the walls and shanties seem painted with blood. I like this paragraph here because it's like things aren't always what they seem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's reminding us of that. How long was this alleyway? She was relieved when, at last, she stumbled over something on the ground. She reached down, feeling at a clothed arm, a body. I will remember you, Lift thought, leaning over and squinting, trying to make out the old man's shape.
Sorry, I know this is super serious right now. I realize it, but I have to read that line a little bit differently. It was, she reached down, feeling a clothed arm, a body, and then she thinks, I will remember you. Will you remember me? And then like sad dog faces and cat faces appear on the screen.
Sarah, what are you doing here?
why are you hanging out in your dog?
It's not Lilith Fair, is it?
It's Lilith Fair. It's Lift Fair.
Lift Fair. Oh, dude, Lift Fair. Love
yeah,
it.
That's really funny.
Okay, well, thanks for the laughter to take us out of this.
I have to. That's my role in this thing.
It's good.
Poo-poo jokes, and every once in a while, I sing.
Lilith Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mistress, Windle whispers. She felt him wrap around her leg and tighten there like a child clinging to his mother. Oh, man, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? She listened as the silence of the alley gave way to a clicking, scraping sound. It encircled her. And for the first time, she noticed that the figure she was poking at didn't seem to be wrapped in a shikwa. The cloth on her arm was too stiff, too thick. Mother, Lift thought, terrified. What is happening? Oh, man, that's a harsh line.
Mm-hmm.
That she's terrified and she's still thinking about her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Man, that's... Lightning flashed, granting her a glimpse of the corpse. A woman's face stared upward with sightless eyes. A black and white uniform. No, painted crimson by the lightning and covered in some kind of silky substance. Lift gasped and jumped backward, bumping into something behind her, another body. She spun, and the skittering, clicking sounds grew agitated. The next flash of lightning was bright enough for her to make out a body pressed against the wall of the alleyway, tied to part of a shanty, the head rolling to the side. She knew him. Just as she knew the woman on the ground. Darkness's two minions, Lift thought. They're dead.
What the fuck? Hold on a second here.
What?
Clicking.
Do you want to stop
no,
here
No,
for
no, no.
That?
I'm just
crazy.
Trying to...
That's
I'm just
not what I was
here.
Expecting.
So Darkness's two Skybreaker
two minions
are dead.
Yeah.
And there's a strange clicking sound that's happening everywhere.
Yeah, scraping. Yeah.
Huh.
Do you have a thought?
I just want to keep reading.
I don't have a thought.
This is the issue with me being a first-time reader of a book that
but
has
you
existed
have a
for a
extra.
While, and I haven't stopped myself from reading things online. I think I know what's about to happen, but I'm not 100% sure. So full transparency, I think I know what's about to happen, but I'm not... I mean, I don't know what's about to happen in the chapter. I think I understand maybe what the clicking is. But, okay, let's keep going.
Darkness's two minions, Lift thought, they're dead. I heard an interesting idea once while traveling in a land you will never visit. Lift froze. It was the old man's voice. while traveling in a land you will never visit? That sounds threatening. Is he speaking to Lyft?
He's talking to Lyft, yeah. Hmm.
There are a group of people who believe that each day when they sleep, they die, the old man continued. They believe that consciousness doesn't continue, that if it is interrupted, a new soul is born when the body awakes. Storms, 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 Lyft thought, spinning around. The walls seemed to be moving, shifting, sliding, like they were covered in oil. She tried shying away from the corpses, but she'd lost where they were. Was that the direction she'd come from, or did that lead deeper into the nightmare of an alleyway? This philosophy, the old man's voice said, certainly has its problems, at least to an outside observer. What of memory and continuity of culture, family, society? Well, the Omnithi teach that each are things you inherit in the morning from the previous soul that inhabited your body. Certain brain structures imprint memories to help you live your single day of life as best you can. What are you? Lyft whispered.
Okay, can we just stop around for a second here?
Cover that. Yeah, that's a lot.
This is not wit.
The Omnithi?
So, this is a story he's telling of a people, the Omnithi, right?
I know.
The voice, the old man, a couple episodes ago, I was like, fuck off, this is wit. Like, I was super adamant about it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say fuck off to that guy from two episodes ago, past Sean, episode 4, Sean, was wrong.
I think we both were, because I thought that this was wit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Let's reserve, like, do we know 100%?
I don't know, but
just from that, I don't think so.
This
we know
is
100%.
Too ominous for it to be wit. It right. feels like
it's I'll say it's uncharacteristic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, we will say that a couple of chapters ago, or a couple of episodes ago, there was evidence that wit was in this story, because Lyft said she had met someone named Old White Hair. And
right.
he winked at her before he jumped in, like, the mouth of a chasm fiend or whatever.
Right.
The mouth of a great shell in the Reshi Isles. So,
right.
Old White Hair was probably wit. But the old man in the alley with the black shikwa, we might have bit on a little bit too much of a red herring there. Because that felt like mm-hmm. wit, too. So, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's continue. I had to get that off my chest.
What are you? Lyft whispered, looking around frantically, trying to make sense of the darkness. Oh, I like that line too.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to make sense of darkness. What I find most interesting about these people is how they continue to exist at all, he said. One would assume chaos would follow if each human sincerely believed that they had only one day to live. I wonder often what it says about you that these people with such dramatic beliefs live lives that are basically the same as the rest of you. There, Lyft thought, picking him out in the windows, the shape of a man. Though as lightning lit him, she could see that he wasn't all there. Like the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland?
Kind of, maybe?
Chunks were missing from his flesh. His right shoulder ended in a stump, and storms, he was naked, with strange holes in his stomach and thighs. Even one of his eyes was missing. There was no blood, though, and in a quick succession of flashes, she picked up something climbing his legs. Kremlings.
Kremlings. Okay, so...
Whoa.
What's
going on?
This book, more than any other book, we talked several times
about
strange-looking kremlings in this book.
Kremlings.
Remember?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We talked about mm-hmm. it already.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, let's continue.
That was the skittering sound. Thousands upon thousands of kremlings coated the walls, each the size of a finger. Little beasts of chitin and legs clicking away and making that awful buzz. The thing about this philosophy is how difficult it is to disprove, the old man said. How do you know that you are the same you as yesterday. You would never know if a new soul came to inhabit your body so long as it had the same memories. But then, if it acts the same and thinks it is you, why would it matter? What is it to be you, little radiant? In the flashes of lightning, they were growing. I think it's interesting that this old man, let's call him, is referring to her as little radiant.
As well as how Zeth said
as
it
well
earlier,
as
yeah.
Zeth and, In the flashes of lightning, they were growing more common. She watched one of the Kremlings crawl across his face, a bulbous protrusion hanging off its back. The thing crawled into the eye hole, and she realized that bulbous part was an eye. Other Kremlings swarmed up and began filling in holes, forming the missing arm. Each had a portion on the back that resembled skin. It presented this outward, using its legs to interlock with the many others holding together on the inside of the body. To me, he said, this is all no more than idle theory, as unlike you, I do not sleep. At least, not all of me at once. Oh, man.
Okay.
Not all of me?
Okay, what? So transparency here, full transparency. Yeah. The thing that I think I know about this person is a piece of fan art that I saw while researching fan art for the series when we started doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I saw exactly this, a guy who had half a face and like Kremlings were crawling into the places that his face was not full.
Yeah.
So I don't know who this is or what he is. I just know that there was a character in the Stormlight Archive that I hadn't met yet, which I found was crazy, that was made up potentially of Kremlings. This guy's made of Kremlings?
Yeah, I think so.
That is fucking gross.
It's really gross. Okay. What are you? She says again. Just another refugee. Lift backed away. She didn't care anymore about going back in the direction she had come, so long as she got away from this thing. You needn't fear me, the old man said. Your war is my war, and has been for millennia. Ancient Radiance named me friend and ally before everything went wrong. What wonderful days those were. Before the last desolation, days of honor, now gone, long gone. You killed these two people, Lift hissed. In defense of myself, he chuckled. I suppose that is a lie. They were not capable of killing me, so I can't plead self-defense, any more than a soldier could plead it in murdering a child. But they did ask, in not so many words, for a contest, and I gave it to them. He stepped. Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
He stepped toward her, and a flash of lightning revealed him flexing his fingers on his newly formed hand as the thumb, a single Kremling with little spindly legs on the bottom, settled into place, tying itself into the others. But you, the thing said, did not come for a contest, did you? We watched the others. The assassin, the surgeon, the liar, the high prince. But not you. The others all ignore you. And that, I hazard to predict, is a mistake.
Okay. Holy fuck.
Amazing. Holy
okay,
geez.
So... The assassin... is Zeth, I guess, right? The surgeon is Cal. The liar is Shallan. The high prince is Dalinar.
The high prince.
Right?
But not you.
So, shit, bro. Holy fuck.
This is amazing. He took out his fear, bathing the place in a phantom glow, and smiled at her. She could see the lines crisscrossing his skin, where the Kremlings had fit themselves together, but they were nearly lost in the wrinkles of an aged body. This was just the likeness of an old man, though. a fabrication. Beneath that skin was not blood or muscle. It was hundreds of Kremlings pulling together to form a counterfeit man. Oh, man,
oh,
I love
geez,
that line.
Dude.
Counterfeit man? Oh, man, I love that.
Okay, so when he asked her, if you were a part of the body, what part of the body would you be? That was fucking, he was
right.
being literal.
Right. Right.
That is, that makes that conversation so gross.
So gross. Yeah. Yeah, it's gross. This is a bit grody, McCody, I gotta say. The title could be grody, McCody.
I hope that there is someone in the world named McCody who named their son Grody. And then you would be like, hi, my name is Grody McCody. That would be amazing.
Grody McCody.
This is ridiculous.
This is amazing, though. I love this. I don't know where it's going, but I love it. Okay, wrinkles of an aged body. This was just the likeness of an old man, though. A fabrication, counterfeit man. Many, many more of them still scuttled on the walls, now lit by his sphere. Lift could see that she'd somehow made it around the body of the fallen soldier and was backing into a dead end between two shanties. She looked up. Didn't seem too difficult to climb, now that she had some light. If you flee, the thing noted, he'll kill the one you wanted to save.
Hmm.
What?
Hold on a second. Wait a minute.
I thought she wanted to kill. She wanted to save the old man.
Well, the Skybreakers were under the impression that the old man in the alleyway was a Lightweaver because he could change his appearance. But maybe he could change his appearance because the Kremlings do it for him. He is the Kremlings, so the Kremlings just switch around and he looks like a different person depending on where the Kremlings are situated. So there might still be
right.
a Surgebinder in the city
right.
that's not Lyft. The one
right.
you wanted to save.
The one, oh, right, the other Surgebinder. So maybe we're still right about Hauka?
Or maybe we're still right about the Stump?
Or the Stump?
I like how we're living in a moment right now where we're potentially both still right about both things. But it's like Schrodinger's Surgebinder. It's like,
you know what
we could be right and we could be wrong.
I like that you're along this with this with me.
You like this?
Terms
you
not,
like
not
how
knowing.
I have no clue
yeah,
what's going
I like
on?
It. Yeah,
nice.
I like that
it's nice,
for
yeah.
a change. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Wow, this
if
is crazy.
If you flee, he'll kill the one you wanted to save. You are just fine, I'm sure. The monster chuckled. Oh, man. Notice how the language has gone from the old man to the thing to the
yeah.
monster?
Yeah.
Those two fools got it wrong. I'm not the one that Nail is chasing. He knows to stay away from me and my kind. No, there's someone else. He stalks them tonight and will complete his task. Nail, madman, herald of justice, is not one to leave business unfinished.
Hmm. So there's confirmation.
Wow.
So our second Surgebinder, who is the second Surgebinder, is still active. Like this
still
little
active
game we've been playing
there.
In this book, you and I, is still out there. Hmm. That's a turn of events, eh?
I love it. I love yeah, I love that he is the distraction. Right?
So
this
random.
Monster is the distraction, and there is another Surgebinder, and the darkness is going to get this Surgebinder.
Well, we asked, how is Lyft going to be able to beat two Skybreaker apprentices and the Herald of Justice? Well, now she doesn't have to, I guess. She doesn't have to beat the two Skybreakers because a bag of Kremlings just did it. A sack of Kremlings.
Another question could be, how is darkness going to do it? What if it's in part because Lyft is not there, distracted, dealing with this monster?
Right. Yeah.
Lyft hesitated, hands in place on a shanty's eaves, ready to haul herself up and start climbing. The Kremlings on the walls, she'd never seen so many at once, scuttled aside, making room for her to pass. He knew to let her run, if she wanted. If she wanted to. Clever monster. Nearby, bathed in cool light that seemed bright as a bonfire compared to what she'd stumbled through before, the creature unwrapped a black shikwa. He started winding it around his right arm.
Oh my god, that's
I like
why he wears
this
a black shikwa. is to like to keep cover. Them to keep them together and to cover himself yeah. up.
Yeah.
Holy jeez. It is a bag gross. Of it literally is a bag of rats. It's like that that old D&D thing, you know, like four kobolds in a trench coat or whatever.
Yes. Well, he's comprised of of like insects, like plague.
Yeah, he's like an insect man.
Yeah, he's like the mummy from the Brendan Fraser mummy.
Oh yeah, that's really kind of grody. Yeah,
yeah, it's gross. I like this place. He explained, "Where else would I have the excuse to cover my entire body? I've spent thousands of years breeding my hordlings, and still I can't make them fit together quite right. I can pass for human almost as well as a Sia can these days, I'd hazard, but anyone who looks closely finds something off. It's rather frustrating." "What do you know about darkness and his plans?" Lyf demanded. "And radiance, and void bringers, and everything."
What do you know about everything?
Yeah, that's quite the exhaustive list, he said, "and I confess, I am the wrong one to ask. My siblings are more interested in you, Radiance. If you ever encounter another of the Sleepless..."
Oh, there we go. We get a name.
"Tell them you've spoken with Arklow."
Arklow.
"I'm certain it will gain you sympathy." That wasn't an answer, not the kind I wanted. "I'm not here to answer you, human. I'm here because I'm interested. And you are the source of my curiosity. When one achieves immortality, one must find purpose beyond the struggle to live, as old Axes always said."
Oh, shit. I was literally just thinking of Axes. I swear to God.
Of Axes?
Because I was like, collector? This guy is so strange and different like Axes. He's like a unique mm-hmm. character. We've never mm-hmm. met his like before. Shit, that's awesome.
I love it. "You seem to have found purpose in talking a whole bunch," Lyf says, without being helpful to nobody. She scrambled up on top of the shanty, but didn't go any higher. Windle climbed the wall beside her, and the Kremlings shied away from him. They could sense him? "I'm helping with far more than your little personal problem. I'm building a philosophy, one meaningful enough to span ages. You see, child, I can grow what I need. Is my mind becoming full? I can breed new hordlings specialized in holding memories. Do I need to sense what is going on in the city? Hordlings with extra eyes or antenna to taste and hear can solve that. And given time, I can make for my body nearly anything I need."
Hmm.
But you're stuck with only one body. So how do you make it work? "I have come to suspect that men in a city are each part of some greater organism they can't see, like the hordlings that make up my kind." "That's great," Lyf said. "But earlier you said that darkness was hunting someone else. You think he still hasn't killed his prey in the city?" "Oh, I'm certain he hasn't. He hunts them right now. He will know that his minions have failed." The storm rumbled above, close. She itched to leave, to find shelter, but... "Tell me," she said, "who is it?" The creature smiled. "A secret. And we are in Tashik, are we not? Shall we trade? You answer me honestly regarding my questions, and I'll give you a hint." "Why me?" Lyf said. "Why not bother someone else with these questions at another time?" "Oh, but you're so interesting." He wrapped the shikwa around his waist, then down his leg, then back up it, crossing to the other leg. His kremlings coursed around him. Several climbed up his face, and his eyes crawled out.
Gross.
New ones replacing them so that he went from being dark-eyed to light.
That's crazy.
He spoke as he...
That's crazy.
Dude, I thought Shallan was like the great at disguise. This is something else.
This is like a changeling, like a gross insect changeling.
Yeah. Yeah, this is crazy. Shikwa, from being dark-eyed to light, he spoke as he dressed. you, Lyft, are different from anyone else. If each city is a creature, then you are a most special organ, traveling from place to place, bringing change, transformation. You, Knights Radiant, I must know how you see yourselves. It will be an important corner of my philosophy. I am special, she thought. I am awesome. So why don't I know what to do? The secret fear crept out. The creature kept talking his strange speech about cities and people and their places. He praised her, but each offhand comment about how special she was made her wince. A storm was almost here, and darkness was about to murder in the night. All she could do was crouch in the presence of two corpses and a monster made of little squirming pieces.
Hold on a second here.
Listen.
She says earlier, she says, like she thinks to herself, so why don't I know what to do? She asked this guy, how do you know? How do you know what to do? Remember earlier in the book? When she met him earlier in the book, mm-hmm. she asked, like, how mm-hmm. do you know what to do? Like, how do you know what to, how do you know what to do in life? And cause she's just going with it. She doesn't know how to, what to do. Right. I thought I'd bring that back up because it happened earlier. It's being brought back up now again in this moment. So.
Well, I think she's about to find out, like, you do what you can and you do, mm-hmm. you try to do your best. Listen, Lyft, are you listening? People, they don't listen anymore. Yes, but how did the city of your birth know to create you? The creature was saying. I can breed individual pieces to do as I wish. What bred you? And why was this city able to summon you here, here now? Oh, I like that the city summoned her. That's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
After that question, why are you here? What if I'm not special, Lyft whispered. Would that be okay too? The creature stopped and looked at her. On the wall, Windle whimpered. What if I've been lying all along, Lyft said. What if I'm not strictly awesome? What if I don't know what to do? Instinct will guide you, I'm sure. I feel lost, like a soldier on a battlefield who can't remember which banner is hers, the guard captain's voice said.
That's Hauka from earlier in the book.
Mm-hmm. Listening. She was listening, wasn't she? Half the time I let the sense that even kings are confused by the world. Genna, the scribe's voice. Oh, dude, this is amazing.
Yeah, nobody it's like literally listened anymore. It's literally taking us through all these things that she listened. I got such goosebumps right now.
Me too. It's amazing. I wish someone would tell us what was happening, the stump's voice said. What if you're wrong, though? Lyft whispered. What if instinct doesn't guide us? What if everybody is frightened and nobody has the answers? It was the conclusion that had always been too intimidating to consider, and it terrified her. Did it have to, though? She looked up at the wall at Windle, surrounded by Kremlings that snapped at him, her own little Voidbringer. Listen. Lyft hesitated and then patted him. She just had to accept it, didn't she? In a moment, she felt relief akin to her terror. She was in darkness, but, well, maybe she'd manage anyway. Lyft stood up. I left Azir because I was afraid. I came to Tashik because that's where my starving feet took me. But tonight I decided to be here. What is this nonsense? Arklow asked. How does it help my philosophy? She cocked her head as a realization struck her like a jolt of power. Huh. Fancy that, would you? I didn't heal that boy, she whispered. What? The stump trades spheres for ones of lesser value, probably swapping done ones for infused ones. She launders money because she needs the stormlight. She probably feeds on it without realizing what she's doing. Lyft looked down at Arklow, grinning. Don't you see? She takes care of the kids who were born sick, lets them stay. It's because her powers don't know how to heal those. The rest, though, they get better. They do it so suspiciously often that she's started to believe that kids must come to her faking to get food. The stump is irradiant.
Oh my God, dude. She thinks that they're scamming her when they're coming,
right,
getting healed by her, and then they're better, and they're like, well, right, they must have been pretending.
Right.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Jeez. And dude, it makes it, your guess was right.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does make my guess right, but not at all like I thought, not at all
not
for the
how
reasons
you thought.
I thought,
yeah.
No.
The sleepless creature met her eyes and then sighed. We will speak again another time. Like Nail, I am not one to leave tasks unfinished. He tossed his sphere along the alleyway, and it plinked against stone, rolling back toward the orphanage. Lighting the way for Lift as she jumped down and started running.
Shit,
dude. That's crazy. Wow.
What so the fuck? What the fuck, dude?
That is crazy. Kremlings.
This guy,
it's not who we thought. And then back to, and we went from Hauka to the stump to then
old
is
man,
someone else.
Is the old man then, Lift? Or is the old man Wit?
Right.
And then we went to, is the old man Wit? To, it's definitely fucking Wit. To, oh, it's not Wit. It's a bag of bugs.
It's a bag of bugs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we've been all over the place with this, but that's amazing. The stump trades spheres for ones of lesser value.
I had a feeling that had something to do with it because there's like, it didn't make sense. And what keep me on that was when you said that Hauka had done ones hanging in her apartment and that her guard captain dude at the post gave her spheres. And when you were like, maybe she's doing it without realizing it, or she's harboring someone who's doing it because of the done spheres. And then when we started reading about the stump and how she was getting infused spheres and trading done spheres out, I was like, well, maybe she's using it to heal the kids. But holy shit, it makes total sense that she would not even realize she's doing it and that she thinks the kids are scamming her because they were just pretending the whole time. They stayed for a couple of days, they get healed, then they're okay and they can leave. They must have been scamming me, pretending that they were drooling and pretending that they were slow and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Amazing. So does this confirm that the old woman doesn't know about her powers?
Well, we
does
don't
it
know.
Confirm
we,
that?
We only know what Lift thinks she's figured out.
Mm.
So it makes sense for the stump to think that she, for not to not realize, right? She might not have any idea that she's even doing anything. But that would mean
she
has.
And another question I have about it too is
go
that,
ahead, go ahead.
Is this old woman, is she like Lift that she's a radiant, or is she like Lopin who's had an awakening or a beginning?
I think was like Lopin, she would need to have some kind of close connection to a radiant to be able to get some kind of ability to use Stormlight. It doesn't sound like that's the deal, because anyone that would have been a Surgebinder in the city, Nail would have probably already killed. And since they're only looking for one report, they're looking for Lift and they're looking for the stump. It's really interesting.
It's interesting. I love it. What a great chapter.
Yeah, I can't wait to read the next one. What's your highlight? If you can remember the chapter, what's your highlight? Is it the
I think the highlight is the revelation with the stump at the end. I like that Lift, stands up to this creature, I don't need to be beholden to contribute to your philosophy,
right?
Like I'm not here for you, I'm here for them.
Mm-hmm. I really thought, before we started reading it, I was wondering, because we asked Buzzkill, we said, hey Buzz, can you pick a chapter in Edge Dancer Force to do a live read, because I couldn't read, I didn't know which one to pick, so he picked for us. So thanks, Joe, for that. But I always assumed that as we were reading it and we were getting closer to the library chapter, I thought maybe, and I couldn't help but think about this, maybe he picked this because Lyft was going to finally say her third ideal in chapter 18. That's what I kind of assumed was going to happen. Then when she started, like, when we started reading that end part, when everyone's scared, when she's like, you know, half the time, she, all the quotes from all the different people in the city that she's come up with, everyone doesn't know what's happening. Everyone's scared. I thought she was going to say a third ideal there at the end. I was expecting it. And then when the chapter was over and we were done reading it, I was like, wait a minute. I really expected her third ideal to be said. So maybe that'll still come in these next couple of chapters at the end here.
I'm hoping it'll happen as a result of confronting darkness.
I think it's going to need to. I think she's going to need to. If she's going to be able to compete against him in any kind of fashion, she's going to need that, like, upgrade of awareness and power and all that stuff, right? So
I'm hoping for Arklow to
participate. It sounds like Arklow is not going to.
But
the Sleepless. What the fuck?
The Sleepless, yeah. And what was the people that he referenced?
The story that he told?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
That's our info dump in terms of...
Yeah, we're doing that. We're doing the info dump right now.
What was it? The Ornithio? No.
Meow.
Going to find it. This is the unedited version of Stormfly, by the way.
Yeah, so deal with it.
Deal with it. You're so interesting. Oh, I love that.
The Omnithi. Omnithi.
Omnithi, that's it.
Yeah, the Omnithi.
Yep.
So you know what that makes me think of? This Sleepless, this Arlco. There's a moment in Words of Radiance when Cal is in that prison cell and there is a Kremlin crawling across the floor and he makes a point of thinking, wow, that's a strange one. So I wonder if there was one of these Sleepless at the Shattered Plains in the war camps. And, like, maybe these Sleepless can send one of their Kremlings off to, like, investigate and then come back.
Right.
Because how would he know about the surgeon? How would this one know about the surgeon, right? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I have so many questions.
So the Sleepless, is it just one? Are there many?
It sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like this guy said that he was hoarding his Kremlings and like training them to do the things he needed to do.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they maybe this is like Devastator where they all form into one large Kremlin monster at the end.
Like hive mind, like the Borg, you know,
maybe.
I really like this idea that there's all these little Kremlings out there and they could be one entity or different entities.
Yeah,
all
or
Sleepless.
Pieces of the same. Like, they could be separate, but the same at the same time. Like, maybe they can communicate like span reads. Who knows?
Because
he said something about antennas. Maybe the antennas can, like, shoot, like, I don't know. Who knows?
Laser beams?
These laser thoughts or something? I don't know, man.
Are we going to get lasers in
I hope so.
In Stormlight?
Laser swords.
I want some Stormlight lasers.
I don't think I picked out an alternate chapter title out of here. But
no, I didn't. As we were reading,
The Sleepless.
No, but
might have to be the Sleepless.
I think the Sleepless is totally appropriate.
That's crazy. All right. Well, let's move on to the info dump.
I think we just did it, didn't we?
That's it. There's no info. So that's the shortest info dump of all time. Wow.
What do you think?
I don't know.
We're going to get an ideal. We're going to get a confrontation.
This must be what you experience after a live read because you haven't had time to process it. You have to just say your thoughts out right away. I haven't had a chance to sit with it at all. I'm sure I'll have more to say our next episode. Like maybe we'll start the next episode with a quick recap. Thoughts on the Sleepless and Arlco and all that. I guess
doesn't require sleep. I really like that because it's like
the Sleepless. Yeah. And then Wendell would say sleep more or whatever. Or much sleep more. Oh, no, that was Ivory. Much sleep more. All right. Well, I guess we should say our goodbyes.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. We are currently doing a live read, which you know, what you might not realize is that we have about, how many people do we have in the chat here? We've got quite a lot of people. We have 15, maybe 18 to 20 people in the chat right now. We're recording on Discord. We're recording, but we're also talking on Discord. So there's a group of people that are actually able to sit into this whole episode and actually listen to it live. It's thank you very, very much for everybody for doing that, because it's we know it's pretty early. Mm-hmm. But if you are interested in being able to do this and experience this, you can go to patreon.com/heroesof and sign up for the Patreon team. It's how you get the Discord link. It's how you're able to be involved in the community, and it's we just, you know, we want to hang out with you and talk to you, and we want you to make fun of us, and we want you to have a drink with us on certain nights, or watch a movie or whatever. So so come down to patreon.com/heroesof and join the community. It's a fun time. If you want to reach out to us and tell us that you loved or hated this episode, you can do so at heroesofacathra@gmail.com. you can reach out on Twitter at heroesofone, on Instagram, on the Storm Pod, and don't be shy and join the Storm Pod subreddit or the Storm Pod Facebook page, depending on which platform you use, and we will try to be in contact. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. What a wild episode, Jack. The next episode is the last episode of this book. So we're going to do...
There's only one more chapter?
There's two more chapters. 19 and 20 are the last two chapters of the book. Ooh. And then we'll do, like, that same episode, we'll do our, like, book wrap up. Since it's just a small novel, we'll end with us talking a little bit about the book and, you know, give us our final final thoughts and
My
stuff.
Skin's kind of crawling. I feel like...
Kremlin-y.
I feel a little Kremlin-y.
I'm definitely going to have a sleepless night tonight. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We love you very much. Until next time.
Take care, everybody.
The Storm Pod is brought to you by Heroes of. Music and theme song by Jack Forrest Productions. Additional music by Jason Moray. Produced by our wonderful Patreon team and the Heroes of Acathra.